Hey, you guys.
Yeah, I'm in here talking to my new bitch, Louie. No, man, that's the fucking settings on my tablet.
Sure,
man.
It was. Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Go ahead on. Go ahead on. Go ahead on with all this gayness. Okay.
Go ahead on with your gayness.
Yeah. Why is this thing? This fucking chair is always like in a weird spot.
It's not. It's in the same spot. Like, it's always in.
Moves all the time. My camera angles are all fucking crazy.
Change it bad. I don't like it. You do look pretty.
Okay. All right. Today, we're going to talk about sweet and sour sauce. Chinese stuff or Chinese-American fast food. It's probably the same in Europe, pretty much, you know. And it's probably the same wherever you go in the world. None of this shit is fucking Chinese. It was stuff that Chinese immigrants made up for white folks. Here, eat this. You know what I mean?
It's good though, so we don't complain.
It's good. Some of the stuff that they sell us, like General Tso's chicken, is based on a real recipe, but it's not Chinese. Okay.
Didn't we see a whole documentary about that? It was actually really interesting.
It came from Taiwan, I believe, and it came from a hotel. And we're talking about General Tso's chicken. It was a hotel recipe. Only a couple chefs knew the actual sauce. It was classified. That bitch was classified. Every version of General Tso's chicken you've had is a copy. It's a fake. Nobody knows what it originally tasted like. It was similar, but not really. There's only a couple of guys still alive that knew what the original tasted like, and they taste it and they go, "No, that's not it. No, that's not it."
But they're not going to tell you what it really is.
They won't tell you what it is, you know?
Well, they will tell you, but then they'd have to kill you.
It's like these fucking kung fu motherfuckers, you know what I mean? With the special fucking attacks and shit. Oh, you got to go to special school. These guys tend not to write things down. They're cooks that have shit memorized in their head, and they won't give it to anybody else. That's the way they are. So eventually the original General Tso's chicken will be lost to history. I mean, because they're fucking selfish. They won't write that shit down. But you know what?
Nobody's bitch steal my recipe.
Same thing about Coca-Cola, though. Nobody knows what the original recipe was. I mean, the recipe for Coca-Cola you have now is not the original one that came out in the 1800s. It's been changed several times. But today I'm going to talk about sweet and sour sauce, which is the basis for sweet and sour chicken and sweet and sour pork.
Sweet and sour shrimp.
Sweet and sour shrimp. All right.
My personal
And
favorite.
I'm going to talk about how to fry the meat, you know, what kind of a tempura coating is going to be on it. There's a couple different variations for the sauce, a couple different variations for the batter, a couple different variations for the damn fruits and vegetables that go in there. But everybody knows sweet and sour. Sweet and sour is legend, man. Legendary. Very popular, too. And you taste it, and it tastes like some exotic. You know, man, that's where do they buy that, you know? When you see the recipe and when you understand the ingredients, you laugh, okay? Because there's nothing exotic about that at all. All right. So I'm gonna start off with a very basic outline for sweet and sour sauce. You can find, and I'll give you as an example of where to start. You don't have to write this down. These recipes are all over the internet. But there's some tricks to them, okay? There's a trick to working with this stuff, okay? Now, I'm going to go over to, I got one of them right here. I'm going to read it out. This is just a basic example of what a sweet and sour sauce is like, okay? Why is this shit so big? That's what she said.
I was just going to say that.
Pulled that shit out and she said, "Why is that shit so big?" And I said, "Is that Mississippi ancestry? You don't know who you're related to."
Skunk okay. ape.
You, yeah. You know, you might be slightly Africanized. Pull that big fucking black snake out of there. That's why they called it the Mississippi white snake, man. It was just a different version of the black one. Jenny loves it when I talk dirty like that. She loves it. Okay. These are very basic ingredients on a sweet and sour sauce, okay? Ketchup, sugar, vinegar, soy sauce, cornstarch, pineapple juice, and a little bit of oil.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay, so you're going, wait a minute, hold on. Ketchup, sugar, vinegar, soy sauce, cornstarch, and pineapple juice? Yes, that's all it is. But that's the very basic one. Okay. If you want one that is that real electric red, it's maraschino cherry juice.
Yeah.
Mixed in with the the pineapple juice. The pineapple juice is coming out of the pineapple can that you're going to put the pineapple slices into the sauce with. And sometimes you'll see that sauce has little cherries in it. That's because if you're going to use the cherry juice, you might as well throw some cherries in there too. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we usually put maraschino cherries in it when we make it.
The secret to this, you take a quarter cup of sugar, a quarter cup of white vinegar, and a quarter cup of ketchup, and a tablespoon of soy sauce, and you put it in a pan and you heat it up. Okay. And then in a little ramekin, you put like a tablespoon and a half cornstarch in there. Squirt some water in there and stir it until it's a milky paste. Actually like a milky substance. You don't want paste. You want it to be kind of watery. So it mixes in there. And then once it's in there, your thickening agent in all that Chinese food is always that. Always. A heaping tablespoon of cornstarch in a ramekin. Put some water in it. Turn it into something like milk and pour that into the sauce. And it will thicken almost instantly. And then once you have that, pour in the entire can of pineapples with the juice. Put that in there. Put about 6-7 maraschino cherries and a couple tablespoons of the damn cherry juice in it. And it will be red. It'll be fucking great. All right. Now, a couple things you might want to add into there. You might want to add some water chestnuts. You might want to add a diced up bell pepper, maybe a green one or a red one or a yellow one or green, yellow, and red if you want to get fancy.
You want to get super colorful.
You want to get super colorful. You put it all in there.
I like bell pepper all right. there, yeah.
And then once that's, and just let it simmer. All right, let it simmer. It'll be, in, make sure you got the thickness right. If it's too thick, add a little bit of water to thin it. Okay. And then just put it on the back burner. Okay. Now, just keep it warm. Now after that, you're going to be worried about your meat. All right, you're
worried about your meat.
Yeah, I'm always worried about meat. Yeah. It's got a lot of meat to take care of. Got to maintain that shit.
As previously mentioned,
kind of like smooth it out. Yes, Jenny, for help, Jenny, you got your hands clean. Yeah, come over here. Come here, hold this. Smooth this shit out for me. You know, let me put something on to watch. Okay, just, it might be some crazy shit like that, but anyway.
You're so distractible.
Yeah. So anyway, we getting sexual on me. It's all that testosterone. So then after that, all right, you're going to want to worry about what meat you're going to use. It could be shrimp. It could be pork. It could be cubed pork tenderloin. It could be cubed... chicken breast. It could be cubed up chicken thigh.
Could be human if you could get it.
If it's hungry and that shit civilization starts collapsing, you start eating some neighbors. Okay?
Sweet and sour neighbors.
Yeah, long pork, long pig. All right. So you get your meat cubed up. All right. And there's a couple different ways you can do this. The easiest way is once the meat is cubed up, I would probably put a little bit of soy sauce in it. And mix it all up and just let it marinate for a few minutes. Take a piece of meat and throw it in a bowl. And inside the bowl, you have a bowl filled with cornstarch and just roll it so that each one of them is covered. And put it all on a plate till they're all covered. All right. And then take them and put them in a frying pan with a little bit of oil in the bottom of them. Flip them over. Fry them. All right. That's the easiest way. There's another way. What that will yield is that will yield a crust that is kind of chewy / crispy. It'll almost kind of be like the crust on a fried chicken. Not quite, but kind of. You can season it if you want to. In that cornstarch, you can put some powdered ginger in there. That's pretty good. Maybe a little bit of salt and white pepper. All right, like that Chinese white pepper. That might be good too. But it can, most of the time in these restaurants, it's plain. It's just plain corn flour. You roll meat through it and put it in the fryer. There's another way, though. You can do something called a slurry. All right. in the bowl of meat, you can put the cornstarch directly in it, and you can put water in there with it, and just all stir it with your hand, and it becomes a gloopy slurry. And you can pick up each piece of meat out of there one by one and drop them in a frying pan. That'll also work. Some people like that one. It gives a little bit of a different texture. Okay. Now here's the, now if you like one that's like a tempura, which is a batter that kind of blows up and becomes light and fluffy and crisp on the outside, kind of like a tempura. You'll see this sometimes in a Chinese restaurant where they want the piece of meat to look bigger than it really is. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When you're trying to get the piece of meat to look a little bit bigger than it is. Like when you're going to the club and you take a rolled up sock and put that shit in and try to make it look a little bit bigger than it is. Well, they do that sometimes, okay? And what they'll do is they'll make the slurry bowl with the meat in it. It's got the cornstarch and the water and any kind of seasoning, if you want seasoning in there or not. You take that and you add a little bit of flour to it, and then you add, say, maybe like an egg or maybe two eggs, depending on how big that. There's a certain consistency you're looking for. A lot of this shit's just kind of done by hand. It's not science, it's art. So you put in there a whipped egg, a beaten egg, and stir it all around. And when you take that and drop it into oil, like to deep fry it. It doesn't have to be deep fried. It could be pan fried too. In about maybe half an inch of oil. It will kind of inflate and blow up a little bit. It'll get bigger. And it'll kind of have I'm sure you guys have seen that crust before. You've seen it, right, Jenny?
Where, yeah.
It's like fluffy.
Yeah, that's what they have crust.
Koi Wan will have
that. Koi Wan, the buffet, right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just flour and egg yolk. Flour and beaten egg into the damn slurry, and it'll do that. Okay. And it's easy to do. You just have to. There's a lot of tutorials that shows novices on how this is done if you don't have the confidence. Most of this shit is confidence. Confidence, prep work, and preparation. You know, you're making things ahead. Now in a restaurant, when you're making the sauce, the sweet and sour sauce, chances are it doesn't have any of the vegetables or the fruit in it. They'll sometimes keep that separate. All right. So it's just a red, clear sauce. Okay. And now you can store it like that for a long period of time. And usually what they'll do is they'll put it in a squirt bottle, like, you know, a squirt bottle for ketchup.
Yeah.
They'll put it in that. They'll cut the tip of it off so a bunch of it comes out at once. And when they're making a meal in a wok, they'll fry the meat. Okay, they'll have that ready. They'll put that in a wok, and then they'll just squirt the sauce in there and throw the vegetables on top of the sauce and toss it and then plate it. You know, that way you can make a bunch of sauce up, like a gallon, 2 gallons of that sauce up, and you can keep it in a walk-in freezer or a walk-in refrigerator or a reach-in refrigerator, and it'll stay indefinitely. And then you can add whatever fruits and vegetables you want to it to make that one sauce be 3 or 4 different things depending on what the meal is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, efficiency is key.
Efficiency. Everything is mixing and matching and modifying. And
the sweet and sour sauce, too, is used on different meats, too.
Exactly.
It's like I said. Exactly. So it's used in different, slightly different dishes.
Yeah, and when they're using it on different dishes, it might have different fruits or vegetables in it, depending on what it is. If was it pork or was it chicken, you know, it all depends on what that kitchen is doing. I think that's pretty much.
It's interesting because when I get that at like Koi Wan or something like that, it's usually basically just tempura chicken or pork pieces.
Yeah.
With the sauce on the side, and that's it. I mean, when we make it at home, we don't usually deep fry it. We usually pan fry it. And we don't, you know, we do less the tempura thing and more just like the regular, you know, just dredging it through the thing. And then, but, you know, then we just serve it with all the fruits and vegetables, like over rice or something.
Well, the reason why they're doing that at Koi Wan, which is a buffet, is that you do not want that sauce sitting on tempura meat all day long, because it'll just become super, super fucking soggy.
Yeah.
You want it to be crisp, you know. And they do kind of like a tempura that has egg yolk or egg in it, and flour, and it kind of puffs up. I don't really like that. I like the pork to have to be just rolled just roll it in cornstarch, seasoned cornstarch maybe.
Yeah.
And it gives you like a smaller piece of meat, which I know some girls like a smaller piece of meat. It gives you a smaller bite. Some girls want a smaller bite. It makes it more compact and it's kind of chewy and crispy.
Yeah.
I don't like the fluffiness that much. Some people like it. Just depends. Usually when you see the fluffy one, that's on a piece of chicken.
Yeah.
That's usually how.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen. I've seen shrimp done that way too. I don't know if I've ever had like pork done like that though.
They're trying to make the piece of shrimp look bigger, and cooking time on shrimp is very short. So I don't know. It must work out a little bit better. I've never really done the shrimp versions myself, because usually I wouldn't waste shrimp on a meal like that. You know what I mean? If I had shrimp, I'd probably be doing something Southern style, you know, like boiling it. A cold shrimp salad type deal, you know. But no, this is how it's done. I got people in there saying, oh, I've never tried this before. I want to try it. Mango Batch, they always want to try making sweet and sour. Dude, it's so easy.
It is very easy to make.
And there's the recipe that I gave that I quoted, the one with the ketchup, and it is actually a complicated one. Some of them don't have the ketchup, and some of them don't have the soy sauce in it. It's just vinegar, sugar, pineapple juice, and what else do they sometimes? You'll see what I'm talking about. Some of them are just really, really basic. There's not much there. And surprisingly, some of the ones that don't have many ingredients on it taste pretty damn good, because that's what you're used to getting. Those fast food Chinese restaurants they're masters at skimping, to giving you as little as possible when it comes to what the ingredients were.
I wonder what they put in McDonald's sweet and sour sauce, like their dipping sauce for the nugs.
It doesn't have that. It doesn't have
probably not
anything in it.
It's, I don't know. Is it red?
Basic one. It's more like yellow.
It's like yellowish orange. I feel like.
Yeah. If it's just pineapple, it's kind of yellow. If you add, once you make that basic pineapple base and you add a cup, like I said, 3/4 cup of just regular fucking Heinz ketchup in it, you know. You can squirt it by hand. You don't have to measure the shit. Once you've made it a few times, you can do it by eye.
And as long as you taste it and you get the good balance of sweet and sour that you want, that's all you're trying to do.
Yeah, those precise measurements are just like a kind of like a to help you, like a rule of thumb. That's more or less what they're talking about. But you can adjust them a little bit to get a taste that you want. You're trying to get a resonant frequency between sweet, the sweetness of the sugar, and the sourness of the vinegar. And then you're blending in kind of the tartness of pineapple. But then in a weird way, you're coming in from another direction. If you decide to add soy sauce to it, it makes it a little bit salty, which is like a flavor enhancer on all of them. And then the tomato ketchup goes in there, and it just kind of, you'll see, if you add them in there in the right order, like leaving out the soy and leaving out the tomato ketchup, just taste it first and you'll see what I'm talking about. And then you add the soy and then taste it again, you'll see. You go, oh, okay, yeah, it changed it. And then add the tomato ketchup, it'll just boom. It'll be different each time. It's kind of like they're separate sauces. They don't taste alike, kind of. But each one you will recognize, because you've had them all if you've been eating Chinese food. You've had them all. There's only about 4 or 5 variations, and chances are, if you lived long enough, you've had every version of it.
And I should add, too, that it depends, particularly if you're in the U.S., it depends on which brand of ketchup you're using, because some of them are sweeter than others.
Yeah, you want to use, if you want it to be like the American version, you want to use an American ketchup like Heinz or Hunt's.
Yeah.
Heinz is the most common here. Hunt's is considered to be kind of like the bastard stepchild of decent American ketchup. Now, when I was talking to Chantel, when she was making that catfish, I said, I just like a side of ketchup. That should come with a side of ketchup. She kind of looked at me, well, that's kind of cheap. But I forgot to mention that she should just try to make her own ketchup, because I used to do that for that place out there in fucking Gulfport, Mississippi. We made our own ketchup, made our own mayonnaise, made our own mustard.
Yeah, those are pretty easy to make. Pretty
easy to make, but man, it's so much better making your own custom ketchup. And then some of that shit was made with, you know, was designed to be made with brown sugar and Jack Daniel's whiskey in it. Man, it's fucking really good.
Well, anything's better with Jack Daniel's whiskey. Yeah. It's a bold statement. I'm sticking by it.
I would imagine that probably in most of Europe you can get decent ketchup now. You couldn't get it in Brazil when I was there back in the 80s, but maybe things have changed.
Yeah, you have like that watery bullshit that was kind of
watery.
Like...
And it was fucking orange. Terrible. And
it's kind of like the equivalent of Franco-American as opposed to Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, it's like something out of a damn can of spaghetti or something.
Ew. So nasty.
And it was like artificially colored. You know what I mean? Like you could tell that color was not natural. And I was like, there's in that big old jar, there's probably in that whole bottle, there's probably maybe a half a teaspoon of tomato in there. The rest of it was something else.
It wasn't we don't know tomato. What, but it wasn't tomatoes. Yeah.
They were trying to make that shit last.
Talk a little bit about duck sauce, like while we're on Asian sauces. Because
that's very easy.
I love duck sauce. I could just like drink that right out of the packet.
Yeah. The easiest way to make that, or the best way to make that, is you want some kind of preserves, like apricot preserves. That's usually the best one.
Yeah, I think that's the most common. Okay. It's apricot.
It's apricot preserves and vinegar. All right. And you just add vinegar and sometimes brown sugar. Depends on what you're making. And you can make it as you need it. Take a couple teaspoons or a couple tablespoons of apricot preserve, put it in a ramekin, put a little bit of white vinegar in there with it. It's like a couple tablespoons. Maybe like a half a teaspoon of soy sauce. And maybe like a half a teaspoon of brown sugar. Mix, stir it together, put it in a microwave for a minute. And then stir it again. Then let it cool. And when it cools, it'll congeal back down into real good duck sauce. Now, the apricot preserves is the cheapest way. All right. The fucking best way I've ever had it, though, was just substitute the apricot preserves for fucking orange marmalade. That was really good.
Oh, I bet that would be good.
Orange marmalade. It was fucking kick ass.
That's my favorite thing to put on egg rolls.
Yeah.
Is that duck sauce that you get from the Chinese restaurant.
And if you like Chinese mustard, it's nothing but powdered mustard. Powdered mustard with water in it. That's all it is.
It'll
burn you up.
Mango says, I think we call duck sauce plum sauce in
the UK.
Plum
sauce, yeah.
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 Same thing. It's like that orangey yellow gold.
They will call it anything. Orange sauce, plug duck sauce. Something sauce, nut sauce. They just call it any kind of sauce. It's the shit that you
man sauce.
It's just whatever they're gonna tell you it is, and it's for your egg rolls and stuff. But in the U.S., the most common things is it's not plum, because plum preserves are harder to find and they're more expensive, and it's hard to tell them apart from apricot. Apricot preserves or apricot jam. Here in the United States, it's just cheap as shit. I mean, they'll give it away. You can get a big old jar of it for like a dollar. And from that, you can make a lot of it. Now, it's kind of a lost art because most of these Chinese places nowadays are carry out. So they want to give it to you in a single serving plastic packet because that's easy for them. But that tastes like shit. The old school stuff was in a jar on the table. When you went in there to sit down and eat, and you'd spoon it on.
Yeah.
And that was the best stuff. And they made it the way I just told you. It was either apricot. Every now and then it was orange marmalade. And maybe sometimes it might have been something plum, but that was probably back in the 70s. I can't recall ever having it with
plum. I mean, we have plums here, but I feel like it's not used in a lot of stuff.
You'd have to find plum preserves, and that's going to be something kind of rare. The food service industry, like Cisco and all these motherfuckers, probably not going to have that on the order list. That'd be something you'd have to source yourself as a restaurant owner, and they're not going to do that. They're gonna take the cheapest, easiest thing to get their hands on to just make a condiment. They're just making a condiment. It's free. So they're not going to spend a lot of money on it.
I mean, I feel like maybe particularly in Florida, if you're making it down here, you probably want to use orange marmalade because we got fucking oranges all over orange the fucking place. Orange marmalade
was like one of the best ones. Just that you tend not to have it on hand when you need it.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, man. We just the path that we walk on behind our house, there's like little tangerines or tangelos or whatever they are just growing on a little fucking wild tree back there. And you can pluck them off and eat them and they're good.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Don the Bomb says, Dom's double entendres are on fire.
I know, right? I didn't expect this show was just going to be so, ooh, I'm getting all, you know. Mango said, we have Bramwell's here in the UK, the bastard ketchup of all ketchups. Tasty, too. I don't remember if I had that. I remember seeing that brand in the stores when I was over there, but I don't remember if I had anything with it on there. You know what I mean?
Mango, I would suggest getting on the internet and finding a badass American recipe for homemade ketchup. American style ketchup.
We're putting one in the cookbook.
Yeah.
Well, there is one in the
cookbook. There is one in the cookbook.
Putting one. I already put it in there. It's already there.
And, you know, it's not very expensive to make. It's easy to make. And you make a pretty decent batch of it, you know, in a pot. And then store it. Fucking good, man. Really good.
You know what I like? I like curry ketchup. Yeah. You make ketchup and then throw some fucking curry powder in there.
Yeah. Delicious.
There's all different really good on French fries.
Super good. A good homemade ketchup is a base for a bunch of things. You know?
Yeah.
You can take that and then, like you said, you could add whiskey to it and cook it some more. Or, like you said, you could put some curry in it, cook it, you know, paprika and stuff and cook it.
Paprika.
Yeah. Weird, you could probably put chipotle in it. Probably really good.
Yeah, if you want like chipotle spicy ketchup. Yeah, if you want like spicy ketchup. Because I feel like that's kind of like, well, like I told you, this place I used to go to in New York City, I don't know if it's there anymore, but Pomfrite, and they used to do this twice cooked fries. You know, they were real crispy. And you just got a big cone of them. And then they had like 40 bajillion different sauces.
Yeah.
And they had a really good curry ketchup. They had like some spicy ketchups. They had like spicy mayos. They had like all different kind of shit that you could, all kind of malt vinegars you could like dip the fries in. That was all they did was fries and all the different kinds of sauces. And it was really, really good.
Now, when you guys start sourcing these recipes, make sure, you know, just look at the damn list of ingredients. Make sure you got everything before you go. You might want to start off with a real simple one first, one that doesn't have a whole lot of ingredients in it. Taste it. See if that's what you were talking about. If not, modify it with some of the other stuff. A lot of them will be missing things like ketchup or missing things like soy sauce. That's not mentioned. But yeah, put that in there. Put all that shit in there.
Esther said my uncle made barbecue sauce with ketchup.
Yeah. Yeah. You can do it.
Yeah.
You can.
Not all of them have that, but a lot of variations.
You got to know what you're doing. And there's certain flavors you'll never get by doing it that way. It's been a long time since I've made that. I used to make that all the time.
Yeah.
It's been years. But also there's going to be a big variation of what kind of vegetables go in there. Like they'll talk about putting pineapple in it. They'll talk about maybe putting a couple of cherries in it. And a lot of them won't mention the cherry juice, the maraschino cherry juice. Some of them don't mention that. Yeah, that's how you get that bright electric red color. And it tastes really good. But some of the cheaper ones don't have it. So just pay attention to what it is you're making. All right. A lot of them won't mention water chestnuts. No, water chestnuts should go in it. So should peppers, green pepper, red pepper, yellow pepper.
Yeah, big chunks.
Big chunks.
And big chunks of onion, too.
Yeah, big chunks of onion. And don't overcook them. Don't overcook those.
You want them still crispy.
You want them still kind of crispy. Don't overcook them. Don't cook them until they're clear. Cook it till the onion's white.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll see.
It's good like that.
Good.
And it's good. You just pile it up. So you put some rice in the bottom. Yeah. Pile all the meat and the veggies and the cherries and the pineapples on there. It's really good.
Now, if you're trying to go low calorie and trying to get rid of these carbs, you can eliminate rice.
Yeah, you don't have to have it on rice. You can just eat it the way it is.
You can just eat the sauce on those meat and vegetables. That's it. You don't need the rice. Rice is filler. And I remember when I was trying to cut calories down, we'd go to Khoi Wan and I'd eat everything on that fucking buffet except the rice and noodles. And I'd walk out of there feeling strong, just high protein. Especially if you're just punishing them for putting shrimp out. If you put shrimp out around me, I'm going to fucking punish you.
We used to have to, like, fight over, like, the fucking boiled shrimp because I'm going to be like, I'm going to eat all that.
I'm going to make you pay if you put that shit out there. put that out there on a buffet. I'm gonna fuck you. I'm gonna eat more shrimp than you've ever fucking seen. And if I pay for those crab legs extra to do that, all you can eat crab legs, that's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna sit there and just eat all the damn crab legs. Fighting them damn crabs.
Give me every single crab leg you have in this joint.
Pile the fucking crab skeletons on over here. You know, I'm Chinese waitress looking at me like I'm crazy, and I'm just nodding. Yeah, I'm gonna eat all your crabs. I want some more crabs.
You said it was all I can eat.
Yeah, all I can eat. All I can eat. I can eat more. It's all protein.
I don't know where you.
I have a damn soup bowl filled with fucking melted butter. I'm not worried about cholesterol when I'm eating crab legs.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
Ducking that fucking crab meat.
And I mean, shit, if I could just go, butter. I could just go to the Chinese buffet and just eat cold boiled shrimp and
cocktail sauce.
And a big thing of cocktail sauce.
Yeah.
And I could just eat a fucking pile of that shit. I don't even need any of the other stuff. Although I do like some of the other stuff. I like the pepper steak. I like some of the fish dishes that they have.
When I was stationed in Egypt, you know, they started giving out, the British were cooking, and the Israelis were supplying all the food. And every now and then we'd have lobster day, and they'd come out with these lobster thermidors, and they were small lobster tails.
Right? Yeah.
But most of these dudes, you know, most of these dudes in the infantry, you know what I mean? They come from the hood. They won't eat a fucking lobster. They don't eat seafood. They're like, ugh, that looks like a big bug. No, that's
well,
a bug.
It is a bug. I mean,
that's a bug. So they won't eat that.
To be perfectly honest.
So me and every other damn redneck.
Delicious bug.
me and all the rednecks would be out there. We'd have whole fucking, because the cooks would be like, eat all these lobsters. They'd tell us to eat them all. Did we not let these things go to waste? Because they didn't pay for them.
Yeah.
They were given to us. And, you know, they're just going to end up throwing them all away. So we took two whole fucking tables and pushed them together. All right. Everybody had a bowl of damn, what do you call it?
Cocktail sauce?
No. Fuck no.
The butter?
Melted butter. Everybody had a bowl of melted butter. And then we had whole trays, you know, plastic serving trays, filled with fucking lobster tails on there. All right. And other ones that were just with the empty hulls. And I think, man, I must have ate, maybe a dozen of them damn tails one time.
I could probably do that.
They were only about, you know, four inches long, about 2 inches wide, but we were just trying to tear them up. And people were looking at us like we were gross. We had like 10 of us just sitting there eating a whole company's worth of fucking
people looking at you like you're in fucking Dawn of the Dead, like eating some dead people.
The officers were eating them, though. The officers were tearing them up. It was, I don't know, man. Some people didn't grow up around that kind of seafood.
I guess.
They won't eat. They would get one time. They gave us fucking deep fried oysters with lemon butter.
Oh,
and the guys wouldn't eat that. So I must have gained fucking 10 pounds more just for that me. One day. Eat all the, they were big oysters, man. They were fucking big shucked oysters. They dipped them in damn cornmeal.
I like them done on. Fried. I like them done on the grill too.
Yeah, they're good like that too.
Yeah, I like them
just
like that.
Deep fried. We're sitting there. Fuck, man. Just fucking blown up.
I know. I'm gaining weight just from you talking about it.
All right, let's see what everybody's saying.
Yeah, Grafter's Hammer said goose breast wrapped in bacon with a sliver of red onion and jalapeno pepper inside.
Sounds good.
On the grill for 5 minutes. Good stuff. You could cook a cat turd this way.
Yeah. John the Bomb said, I'm surprised that Israelis supplied lobster. It's not kosher. I don't know. It might be. Because we went to Eilat and they had a Pizza Hut there. And really the only meat you could get on a pizza if it had cheese on it was shrimp. So we had shrimp pizza. I don't know if lobster's kosher.
I honestly kind of like shrimp pizza. Yeah. I know people are kind of grossed out by it, but I mean, I've had shrimp pizza before and it's perfectly cromulent.
They were eating shrimp. So if they were eating shrimp, I don't see why they wouldn't eat lobster.
Yeah.
Or another thing is that maybe they produce lobster and sell it, but they don't eat it themselves.
Yeah, it could be that.
You know, just because they can't eat it doesn't mean they wouldn't make it. And they also, the Israelis also supplied all our ice cream, man. Israeli ice cream was really good. Real good.
Mm. What flavors was it?
All the normal stuff, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry. They had, what do you call it? Pistachio. They had, you know, like vanilla with chocolate swirl in it and stuff like that. Mm. Just kind of pretty standard, but it was good. Real good quality. It's kind of like Blue Bell.
Oh, okay. That's some good shit.
Like Blue Bell. Pretty good.
There's Blue Bell and then there's Blue Bunny.
Yeah, Blue Bunny's not as good. Blue Bell's good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys want good ice cream, we have a company here in the South called Blue Bell. Fucking great. Better than any of that fucking Ben and Jerry's bullshit. It doesn't... They have a bunch of flavors, but they tend to be kind of simple. They got a Nana Pudding flavor. Fucking great. But it's really, really rich. It stretches. It's kind of chewy. It's very, very rich. And it's
they've really, really expanded really their flavor line, I saw. Yeah. Because, like, so we don't buy a lot of ice cream, but I think the last time we bought some, we bought some Blue Bell because they have it at Publix.
Yeah.
And I was actually kind of impressed they had, you know, because when I was growing up, it seemed like they only had, you know, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, you know, swirl, shit like that. But it's like they didn't have a lot of stuff outside of that. But they have...
They do now.
Yeah, they had coffee, chocolate chip, they had mint chip, they had butter pecan. They
Rocky
had
all, Road. The Rocky Road's Road. Great. The Blue Bell Rocky Road, fantastic. Blue Bell Nana Pudding's good. It's got bananas in it and vanilla wafer cookies in it.
I like their mint chocolate chip, and yeah. I like their coffee flavor as well.
They also had a one with a little peppermint. Remember that one? Little peppermint.
Yeah, we got it. Was kind of like good. Well, wait, was that the Christmas one that we got that had the candy cane?
Little candy canes in it.
Because yeah. Breyers makes a nice candy cane one too, but they only sell it after Thanksgiving or right around the holidays. Yeah. You can't get it the rest of the year, I don't think.
You can get fat eating Blue Bell. Well, lots and lots of eggs in it.
Yeah, it's very, very fattening. It's good though. That's why it's good.
Yeah, they have their own creamery or their own dairy right there. That's why it's so good like that. They make it all right.
Because I feel like if you're gonna eat ice cream, just eat ice cream. Because I know they have. I like frozen yogurt too, but I know they have that, you know, low fat or ice cream and stuff like. But it's bullshit. It's like it melts and it's like this weird consistency and it's like I don't know. It's just not as good.
Blue Bell's like something you made at your house.
Yeah, it is. It tastes very homemade.
And you look at it and the packaging looks generic. Just solid colors, nothing fancy. Because it's a fuck you advertising campaign. Like, fuck you. You know what I mean? Fuck
yeah, I don't even think that the packaging is like different colors for the different flavors.
It's the whole thing is fuck you.
They're just beige.
Fuck you. It's because the flavor of the ice cream speaks for itself. It doesn't need flashy packaging. It's not all the same. Like it's yellow, green, or red, or white. Yeah. It's different colors. Brown, but there's no graphics on it.
Yeah,
it looks just writing, print. Yeah,
I have to say that Publix's house brand of ice cream is also pretty
good too. Yeah,
and they have it on sale a lot of times, and they have like a lot of crazy flavors.
It's similar to Blue Bell, actually.
It is, yeah.
Real similar.
Not quite as good, but it's up there.
Blue Bell.
Should, I think on next week's food show, we should do like a dessert show. So we can talk about like the best ice cream and best candy and all that kind of stuff. That would be fun, wouldn't it? Unless you want to talk about something else. I don't know. We'll think about it. We can't think about it that far in advance.
Bryce going, I want Blue Bell. Sounds amazing. Look it up. You could probably find it or order it.
I would think. It's like, you know, I've lived in the South most of my life, so it's very easy to get here. They even have it at Walgreens, I think.
Yeah.
Like in the little freezer section.
Surprisingly, you know, it's been a while, but you can order ice cream.
Yeah, they'll bring it to you in a little refrigerated.
Yeah, little refrigerated thing's got dry ice all around it.
Yeah.
You can get it.
You can pretty much order anything nowadays. Right. Like any food kind of. You can even order shit from restaurants like way across the country and they'll ship it to you. So, you know.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive. You can have pretty much whatever you want.
That's all I need to talk about.
All right. He's done.
I'm done.
He's done. All right. So, well, that's good because we went on like 45 minutes. So that's like pretty good. That's about how long you said it was going to be. So that's awesome.
All right.
So it's Tuesday today. Yeah. So tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. is our Wednesday drunken party stream. Woohoo.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what we're going to be talking about. We never know what we're going to be talking about. We'll figure it out. We'll watch some shit tonight and talk about that tomorrow or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, thanks you guys for dropping by on our little food show. And we will see you guys tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. Bye.